on the agenda list is in the order that they're on the agenda. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2870. John, will you give us the highlights of the bill, please?
I'd be happy to, Chair Starr and members of the committee. You have before you House Bill 2870, which requires the Oregon Department of Transportation to transfer ownership and control a portion of state highway to city or county that is within the boundaries of city or county upon the request of local governments. Requires transfer of state highway funds to local governments each biennium, declares emergency effective on passage. Now also members, you in your packet this morning, you have a copy of the Dash One amendment that's proposed to this bill, and it does two main things. And just inject a little humor because it's early in the morning. If you can understand it, that's probably why you were elected. But it does two things. It requires.
Mr. Chair, and if I can't understand it,
what does that say?
Thank you.
Requires new calculation for ODOT's contribution of funds. And the second thing is it requires ODOT to conduct survey of local governments assuming ownership of the state highway. Also, there is no revenue impact on this bill. However, you do have a fiscal statement that has just been presented to you on the bill.
Thank you very much. I'm just reading these amendments to see if I'm qualified to be a representative.
There's some questions you don't want to ask.
Yeah. Don't ask the question if you don't know the answer.
That's right.
We'd like to have Tom Mann come up.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Mann, and I represent the Highway 214 Alliance, formerly known as Concerned Business Owners of 214. They changed the name because they've expanded and included more businesses outside the 214 corridor. House Bill 2870 is a simple little bill. It does three basic things, as your administrator said. It mandates the transfer of state highways to local jurisdictions upon the local jurisdiction's request. It establishes a funding formula that was actually cooked up by Senator George. We've dropped the bill in the Senate originally, and it was his idea for the original funding formula. And then it also establishes that if a local jurisdiction takes one of these state highways, when they do the improvements on it, the improvements will be done to the local standards in consultation with ODOT and DLDC. Like I said, it's a simple bill that has drawn an interesting array of questions and concerns, which I kind of want to address just right off the bat. Cities and counties have been concerned that the bill doesn't provide enough money, and really it's not their responsibility to take over a state highway. Two good concerns. Your Dash One amendments are from the City of Woodburn, and I think the City of Woodburn's amendments are trying to address the money issue. They're trying to change that formula so there's more money that accompanies the transfer should this take place. And to inject some humor, as your administrator said, don't worry, you're all from safe districts. The Department of Transportation, I would assume that they might have some problems with the bill because it might transfer more money to the local jurisdiction with the road than they might be willing to give up. And they might be concerned about the issues dealing with not having control over the improvements once the local jurisdiction takes over the road. ODOT will also probably be concerned because they already do jurisdictional transfers to local communities where they negotiate out all the details and minutia. That being said, I still think this is a good state policy beyond all the local issues. We get in these debates sometimes about which government should be responsible for what and how much money and all those things, but I want to kind of rise above that this morning and talk about the state policy of our road system. As you know, road construction and maintenance is done via priority via the STIP. If you have a road project, the process is to try to get on the STIP to get state funding. Once you're on the STIP, not only can you access state dollars, but you can access federal dollars. If you're not on the STIP, you can't access anything, and you end up with an issue. What this bill is aiming at is local roads. Highway 214 in Woodburn really is a local road. Most of the traffic on it on 214 is local traffic, 80-85%. Over the years, we've had a lot of congestion because the city fathers have approved a factory outlet mall, a Wehrmacht factory, or a Wehrmacht warehouse. We've had a Walmart go in. We've had some housing developments and some apartment buildings. That all increased the congestion on the road. Yet it's a state highway, so it's not the city's responsibility to deal with those issues. So we're in a catch-22. If we can't get on the STIP, we can't expand the road. but it's not the city's responsibility, even though maybe we've created the problem. The STIP process, in my mind, is imperfect. It's probably the best that we have, but it's imperfect. Just because you're on a STIP does not necessarily mean you're going to get your road project fixed, whether it's in the time frame they say or ever. We've had projects bumped off the STIP. We've seen projects bumped down the list on the STIP. We've seen projects that have been on the STIP that just never come to fruition. So what we're trying to do is set up something that's a little bit unique by saying that there's got to be another flexible way for local people to take care of what we consider sometimes to be a local problem. And certainly a local road like 214, and I know there's others in the state, 82nd Street in Portland, there's some in Sandy, these other issues, they're local problems. Now, as we discuss the state policy, we know a couple things. We know, one, that ODOT does not have enough money to allocate to fix all the roads. They just simply don't. That's just a reality. I remember in 1993 I was staffing for the House Chairman of Transportation Committee, and ODOT came to us in 93 and said, if you give us a 16 to 18 cent gas tax increase, we'll bring all the roads up to par. And we chuckled and said, that's not going to happen. But here we are now in 2001 session, and we still have this issue with these local state highway roads that are not going to be on a STIP, that are not high priorities, that we have to fix because the local folks have a problem. What 2870 is attempting to do is set up a process by which we can try an out-of-the-box solution. Is it perfect? Not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm certainly not that smart. But I think it's a step in the right direction. What we're trying to accomplish is a private-public partnership. In my situation, my business owners approached ODOT when ODOT wanted to stick a median right down the center of 214. As you know, when you put a median down in the middle of a roadway, nobody can turn left. Well, the businesses were concerned because if you can't turn left into a business, they would lose 30 to 50% of their traffic. And that was bad. So we came in and helped them defeat that. But what we offered instead was a possible negotiation. We said, look, we'll give you the right-of-way, millions of dollars of roadway, to expand the road. We thought we were doing this in good faith. The city of Woodburn said, not only will they do that, but we're pulling up some money too, some matching funds. This is one of those public-private partnerships that government dreams about. We could not convince ODOT to move on this issue. And this gets to the issue when ODOT says, we can already negotiate cross-jurisdictional transfers. Negotiate has two separate meanings, at least in our experience, between ODOT and these local communities. ODOT is a very large agency, and in some jurisdictions, the negotiations work. In some jurisdictions, the negotiations don't. This is my file on negotiating with ODOT on medians, and they are still threatening us with medians, even though the issue has been beaten. They've lost that, but they still come back to us every time and say, no, we don't want to do your road project, even though you're offering all this nice stuff to us. You may still someday get the median, even though they've not been able to prove any kind of safety issue. We want to set something in statute that establishes a process that is not flexible or willy-nilly and people are unsure about what's going to happen. We want to have a process in statute that says this is the way you go about doing these things. Now, cities and counties, like I said, may not take advantage of this. We made the bill permissive on purpose. This is not prescriptive. Nobody has to do this. This bill could pass and it could be implemented and no city or county may take advantage of it. And that's fine. What we're trying to do is put something in process to get the first bite of the apple to come up with an out-of-the-box solution to fund these local roads. My perspective on this and my business owner's perspective is this. If we have a city council that is reluctant to do the right thing on the roads, on a local issue, we can replace that city council locally. The business owners and the community can rise up if they think their road needs to be fixed and take charge. It's a local issue. If we wait for ODOT to come up with the funds or for us to get on the STIP, we could be waiting a very, very, very long time, and that problem is going to get worse and worse. So, really, like I say, it's a simple little bill. We're just trying to get a little local control, a little bit of transfer here and there, and create a situation where there's a little bit more flexibility in how people can go about fixing the roads. I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Mann. Does the committee have any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Honor.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Representative.
As you know, I'm in the middle of this. You talk about files. Yours are bigger, but mine are really getting started. And I'll be honest, flat out, we wouldn't have that crosswalk in Woodburn if those two people hadn't got killed. And that bothers me. Excuse me. that mother and daughter not been killed, that crosswalk wouldn't be there. I'm looking for an option. I know ODOT's busy and have a lot of other things to do, but we got some other problems, not only on your side of 214, but on the other side of 214. And there's simple little things that we can do. And if we get in the STIP, a synonym for the STIP, it will never happen in my lifetime because, of course, I don't know how long I'm going to live. But anyway, we got some problems. We have to look at another way. When they say citizens or cities, we'll get some opposition. Cities and counties are against it. That may be the people that run those cities, but that's not the people I talk to. The citizens that I've been working with want some things to be done that we could do simply if we can get control of it. Now, I know the cities, even Dick Jennings, who's my friend, he opposes this a little bit, and I don't know why. Well, it may be that he's going to take on more responsibility. I guess it's the fact that he won't be able to point a finger at ODOT anymore. We'll be able to point a finger at the cities, the citizens will, and say, why don't you help us? So I sense some of that. So I'm between a rock and a hard spot. The people that voted for me, and I tell them to take things into their own hand, want us to do that. We want to be able to take things in our own hands and solve our own problem. And that's why this bill is coming up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, Representative Berger.
In this formula in the bill before the Dash 1 amendments, I really like the formula. It was on lane miles. Now the Dash 1 is on amount of traffic. Which formula are you suggesting we go by?
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, the Dash 1s of the City of Woodburn's amendments, I'm going to stay neutral on those out of deference to the City of Woodburn. I liked Senator George's idea of the original bill. I thought that was a fair way to go about it. I clearly understand the concerns of a city trying to take over a road that they can't afford to maintain. That is a reality. And I understand that cities have limited amounts of budget, just as everyone else. However, I also understand that in certain jurisdictions, as I testified, if they create part of the problem, they should be responsible for part of the problem. And so I'm not going to make a comment on the Dash 1s, but I will say that I like what Senator George did in the original bill with his idea.
And so do I. Follow up, please, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think that your term partnership, however, is used a little bit loosely here because it looks to me like it's weighted pretty heavy on the side of the local government and not on the side of ODOT. And partnerships should always be equal. And it's kind of a pun on words, but it's a two-way street. And so I think that would bother me. I was mayor under the negotiations of three roads under jurisdictional exchange, and I think it was a very fair negotiation, and I found ODOT to be extremely cooperative and very fair with the local government. I think to then say that you want you want to take over the roads, and then you say that ODOT can come in and supervise as to what you've done. Now, to me, now you're weighting it on against the local government. In other words, if the local government takes over the roads, the local government has to, of course, go by any land use, and they certainly need standards, and those standards can be adopted through the negotiating process of what you're going to be doing is where, in other words, if you're going to add a red light or add some access management there. I think the one thing that really bothers me is that you're mandating the Department of Transportation to have a jurisdictional exchange at the request of local government. It doesn't say any kind of exceptions. It only says, Department, you have to do this, and that's very broad. I think that there are times, as in the city of Coos Bay, it worked well for both sides. But I think if you mandate it for everyone, it's weighted very much, too much on one side, and it's not a good partnership.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, let me respond to a couple of things. I would agree that the bill's not perfect, and I'm certainly willing to work out whatever bugs are in it. We had to start with something. And in terms of ODOT overseeing, in terms of this partnership issue, I agree that there has to be some better agreements as to how this would work in terms of the coordinating of it. I would not see necessarily, though, if a city were to take over a road where there would be so much responsibility more on ODOT, because one of the things that's nice for ODOT is once they give the road away, it shouldn't really be their problem anymore because
that's
the city's
right.
requested it.
Mm-hmm.
The original draft of the bill, I think, says that. I think the Dash 1 amendments confuse that a little bit, because what I read in the Dash 1s, it says, once you give us the road, then we want you to provide matching funds. And in my mind, that was a little problematic, because if we've taken the road, we've taken the road. And so I think you and I are on the same page on that issue in terms of who's responsible. But like I said, I'm happy to sit down and amend this bill to make it a good state policy, because, again, I think this is a good state policy, and this is a workable concept. Are there ways to make it better? You bet there are.
Mr. Chairman, one more comment. I think where it's very good is that ODOT can concentrate more on our state highway system and where roads actually are involved with the city. I'm not sure, however, that they're able to do jurisdictional exchanges on all kinds of roads. For instance, if a road intersects with Highway 101, which is a state highway, there is a problem there for the department.
Right.
And I think local jurisdictions have to respect those problems. I think what we need to do is get ODOT able to go on and concentrate on other things and not be so spread. And I think your bill does some of that. I think the thing that I like the best about it is the formula, because I think that if you have a formula, which we did not have, you understand, when we did our exchange, it's then going to be the same for Woodburn or Clackamas County or whoever is negotiating. But I think that when you form a partnership, you must be sure that both parties are fair to each other. And I don't quite see that in this yet.
Mr. Chair, Representative Virgil, we can work on that.
Representative Zonner.
Mr. Chair, the Dash 1 amendments came at the request of Woodburn. And when I visited with Dick Jennings, the mayor, and John Brown, I just said, hey, give me whatever information you'd like me to put in the bill that will make it more palatable to you. So that's where it came from. So I want to mention it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
Tom, does the designation or definition of state highway include U.S. highway? I was thinking like in Newport, U.S. Highway 101 goes through the city of Newport. Does that, the definition of state highway in this bill, does that cover that also?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, I don't believe so, but we could redefine it. I don't know what the problems would be versus interstates and U.S. highways versus state highways and all that. I would really defer to ODOT on that question because I don't know the answer. But I assume that we could do anything we want to with the legislation to make it work.
And follow up. And then would it have any, do you know if it would have any impact on federal funding that might be designated to U.S.?
That I also don't know. That would be a good question for ODOT.
Another question. Is there anything in the bill to say, you know, if the city's received funding from ODOT for to maintain that stretch of road, is there anything in the bill that would ensure that those funds are indeed used there to maintain that strip of road and not another city street?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, that's an excellent point. I did not stick that in there because we thought the intent clearly is that, and sometimes you need to put those in bills just to make sure that happens. Those were intended to be dedicated funds for that purpose. We were hoping, in our little minds, that you could take that money and do deferred maintenance and stick that in an account to grow the account, so if you were going to do a road improvement, you could use that money on that road for that road improvement. So the concept was that whatever money came for ODOT for that state highway would be dedicated to that state highway, whether it be for maintenance, preservation, or improvement.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rosenbaum, then Representative Nelson will go next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom, I apologize. I didn't hear the beginning of your testimony, so you may have addressed this question, but I had a question about how, under this system, we would assure that we have, you know, uniform road standards and not just kind of a patchwork that standards that were adopted locally might be different. And the language in the original bill about consulting with ODOT, I was unclear whether consulting meant that ODOT would really be an equal partner, but now I see that language is actually deleted in the amendments, so it doesn't seem like it leaves a mechanism for the state agency and the local government to really interact about that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, I'm kind of copied in a rock and a hard spot, too. The cities and counties, at least in Woodburn, they wanted to eliminate any oversight and any dealings with ODOT because they said, well, if we take the road, we want to do it ourselves. In the original draft that I put together, we wanted the consultation because there would be issues that I thought that ODOT would want to be involved in. There might be some, as you say, some standardization issues. There might be other issues that would be discussed. For example, one of my other clients is the gravel industry. We may want to do concrete roads. ODOT may not want concrete roads because you may have to dig them up to get to the sewer pipes. Those are the kind of consultations that you might have to have with ODOT or DLDC on issues. So in the original bill, we wanted to have that interaction still take place to address the issues that you're getting to. In the Woodburn Amendment, they wanted to take that out. As I said, I'm really neutral on the Woodburn amendments just for political reasons, but I think that the original draft of the bill tried its best to give some quarter to that issue, to make sure that the state and the city that were doing this road were on the same page with whatever improvement was going to happen to it. And it's been my experience, really, that the cities and counties have been pretty good about their road standards. In some cases, they've been even better than the state has. For example, when you talk about Highway 214, they want bikeways, they want sidewalks, and all these things. Well, the city wants those things, too. They just want them in a different place. That was one of the issues, is how do you do the bikeway? Not whether there would be a bikeway, is what's the best way to do the bikeway. And so that's some of the flexibility, I think, that we were looking for locally. But I like the original draft a little bit better in terms of that issue.
Thanks.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mann, for being here. I applaud Representative Zahner for his astute concept. Under this formula, which I agree with Representative Berger, seems very right, I'm concerned in that the meetings that I've had with ODOT explained that the cost of a lane mile is like up to $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just a little concerned that we came up with this, wherever I was, $15,000 and something else somewhere. I'm part of this that I just looked at.
Be on the second page.
Okay, on the fiscal analysis of this proposed legislature that Mr. Leon has prepared. It says the bill would require the average funding per lane mile be transferred to the receiving government based on the above budget amount. This would be about $10,600 for maintenance and about $15,200 for pavement preservation, which is... just a drop in the bucket.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I hadn't seen the fiscal. It came in this morning, is my understanding. And to be honest with you, when we put the bill in originally in the Senate, Senator George and Council worked up this formula as one option. When I originally spoke with Senator George and Representative Zahner about the bill, they said there has to be a funding mechanism, but I don't quite know what it is. And what Senator George was suggesting was this. Whether it is appropriate or not, I really don't know the answer. When I've talked to cities and counties, what they've told me is, well, it's about $8,000 to $10,000 per road mile in their mind, per lane mile, to maintain a road, and that's just the maintenance piece of it. And that's what the city of Woodburn told me. So that those numbers, I think, in terms of what I was told, work. Whether that is true or not, I really can't tell you. I hope the bill is worked and is flexible enough to reflect the true cost of whatever it is to do these roads the appropriate way. But I am sensitive to what you're saying.
Thank you. Follow-up, please,
yes,
Mr.
Please.
Chair. Mr. Mann, the way that I read this bill doesn't specify. I'm still back to Mr. Merkley's. I don't know if you were here getting a sleeping bag and be the first in, you know, to get your request known. I don't know if this is still one of those.
That's good, though.
No, well, seriously.
Representative Nelson, we have that bill on the end of the agenda today.
Oh good. Okay.
All right.
I brought my sleeping bag. Okay. What I'm concerned about is that I like the formula, but I don't see the process. Heaven help us, it's going to be an administrative rule.
Ms. Chair, Representative Nelson.
Nobody can live with.
I agree with that. And again, the bill was written fairly broadly as a starting point to have the discussion about, is there a way to come up with a flexible, out-of-the-box idea to do something? We knew that there would be all sorts of questions and minutiae and details coming out. And I think that the committee, should it deem this a good concept, a good idea, we could do something. We could get together in a work group. You could direct us to go out in the hall and fix this, as has sometimes been the case. There's ways to get there, I think, with all the issues that are being brought up. But I think the initial discussion had to take place about the concept to find out if there was indeed some interest in looking at an out-of-the-box idea about how we fix our local roads. And that's kind of why I'm here today, is just to start this discussion. And should the committee say, this is a good idea, Tom, go forward, maybe we could all get together and try to work something out.
Thank you. Follow up, please.
Yes, please.
Maybe not out of the ditch, but out of the pothole or box. Out of the pothole. That would help. Another concern of mine is the accountability and responsibility for the contracting of the work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding previously in the last legislature that there was we got waivers from the federal government, found out that just because you repair a highway, you don't have to repair the byway. I mean, we've gotten ourselves in such a mess that we have to rebuild the whole entire Taj Mahal rather than cure the problem. So I'm curious, to know and to feel really good that those decisions will rest with the, you know, whatever the committee is, the task force, you know, that determines, you know, yes, we want to take the pavement up, ground it up, and put it back, which is the most economical mm-hmm. way. Also, that we have some safety factors here. We want some rumble strips. We don't feel that there's a need for, you know, some of the things that are required that are so costly. And likewise, we found that, you know, county lane miles, like I just mentioned, have a different cost than state than miles. But even more importantly is, I guess, what I call the reality check in contracting. At our last meeting on Monday, we were told that the deal goes to the lowest bidder, not always the best.
Right.
And I'm concerned about these government contracting rules. Once this goes to the city and the county, who really is in control when it comes to, you know, who's purchasing? Regulations do we have to live by?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think you hit the nail right on the head as to why this bill was originally drafted. When you move something to the local level, it is our consideration and our hope that when a city council or a county commission is dealing with this, that the access of local people is a little greater than it is when ODOT's making a decision about STIP and how they're going to do a project. When we get to deal with our local city councilors, who are our neighbors, who are our friends, we have a little bit more influence over those decisions. As a business group in Woodburn, for example, I can tell you that if Woodburn were to do a road project, we would be right there involved in some of the decision-making, because that's the way local, low-level government works. You have more access. So to get to your question, yeah, I think that what we want to do, really, to look into my mind and see where I'm going, the first bite of the apple is this. The second bite is more public-private partnerships. Allow public and private to get together, allow business owners more influence and access to these kind of decisions. This gets to this bikeway. ODOT says you must have a bike path. It does this. We said, well, we got a problem because we got a bridge that goes right over I-5. You can't stick a bikeway on the bridge because it's going to cost so much money to do it. Why can't we go around like this? And there was a way to do that. I said, nope, you just can't do that. So then we said, well, we want to engineer the road this way. They said, nope, you just can't do that. Why not? Well, you just can't. And so this gets to the issue where we say, well, if this were a local issue, there'd be a little bit more negotiation between what we think is feasible and what our engineers tell us is feasible versus what ODOT is telling us is not feasible. And so this is the real issue for us, is if we can get more local control, we would have a little bit more control, I think, of those very issues of fixing the problem and not, as you say, fixing all the byways and skyways and everything else that goes with it.
Follow it, please, Mr. Chair.
We've got more people that...
Okay, never mind. I never get to answer, so see you later.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Krupp has a question, and we've got it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, I can find my question here. In the fiscal analysis, the department makes a point that it would be in local government's best interest, Tom, to wait until a project is completed and go in and request ownership of that project. How could you? I mean, and that's a fairly valid concern that I think we ought to address here. How could we deal with that possibly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp. Forward, maybe we could all get together and try to work something out.
Thank you. Follow up, please.
Yes, please.
Maybe not out of the ditch, but out of the pothole or box. Out of the pothole. That would help. Another concern of mine is the accountability and responsibility for the contracting of the work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding previously in the last legislature that there was we got waivers from the federal government, found out that just because you repair a highway, you don't have to repair the byway. I mean, we've gotten ourselves in such a mess that we have to rebuild the whole entire Taj Mahal rather than cure the problem. So I'm curious, to know and to feel really good that those decisions will rest with the, whatever the committee is, the task force, that determines, yes, we want to take the pavement up, ground it up, and put it back, which is the most economical way. Also that we have some safety factors here. We want some rumble strips. We don't feel that there's a need for, some of the things that are required that are so costly. And likewise, we found that, county lane miles, like I just mentioned, have a different cost than state than miles. But even more importantly is, I guess, what I call the reality check in contracting. At our last meeting on Monday, we were told that the deal goes to the lowest bidder, not always the best.
Right.
And I'm concerned about these government contracting rules. Once this goes to the city and the county, who really is in control when it comes to, who's purchasing regulations do we have to live by?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think you hit the nail right on the head as to why this bill was originally drafted. When you move something to the local level, it is our consideration and our hope that when a city council or a county commission is dealing with this, that the access of local people is a little greater than it is when ODOT's making a decision about STIP and how they're going to do a project. When we get to deal with our local city councilors, who are our neighbors, who are our friends, we have a little bit more influence over those decisions. As a business group in Woodburn, for example, I can tell you that if Woodburn were to do a road project, we would be right there involved in some of the decision-making, because that's the way local, low-level government works. You have more access. So to get to your question, yeah, I think that what we want to do, really, to look into my mind and see where I'm going, the first bite of the apple is this. The second bite is more public-private partnerships. Allow public and private to get together. Allow business owners more influence and access to these kind of decisions. This gets to this bikeway. ODOT says you must have a bike path. It does this. We said, well, we got a problem because we got a bridge that goes right over I-5, and you can't stick a bikeway on the bridge because it's going to cost so much money to do it. Why can't we go around like this? And there was a way to do that. I said, nope, you just can't do that. So then we said, well, we want to engineer the road this way. They said, nope, you just can't do that. Why not? Well, you just can't. And so this gets to the issue where we say, well, if this were a local issue, there'd be a little bit more negotiation between what we think is feasible and what our engineers tell us is feasible versus what ODOT is telling us is not feasible. And so this is the real issue for us, is if we can get more local control, we would have a little bit more control, I think, of those very issues, of fixing the problem and not, as you say, fixing all the byways and skyways and everything else that goes with it.
Follow it, please, Mr. Chair.
We've got more people that...
Okay, never mind. I never get to answer, so see you later.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Krupp has a question, and we've got a witness.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, I can find my question here. In the fiscal analysis that... Department makes a point that it would be in local government's best interest, Tom, to wait until a project is completed and go in and request ownership of that project. How could you? I mean, and that's a fairly valid concern that I think we ought to address here. How could we deal with that possibly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, there's an old story about waiting for Godot. About people waiting for something that never took place, and the concern from ODOT that a jurisdiction may wait till the project is done. Woodburn's been waiting 25 years and the project's not been done. And so from our perspective, I don't think that the local pressure and local citizens backed up all the way to Highway 99 trying to get to 214 and I-5, I don't think they're going to wait much longer. I think there's going to be local pressure to fix these roads. That's why I'm here, because there is local pressure to fix these roads. And I think, in all due respect, that's a government answer. That's government-to-government answer. I represent private business interests that want to get something done. We want to do something. We don't want to wait for Godot. We want to do something now. I don't think that's a reality. I don't think people are going to wait for projects to get done and then take them over. If that is a real concern, we can write something in the bill that addresses that issue, and I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate your testimony.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
I'd like to have Doug Kendall come up.
Chair Starr, members of the committee, good morning. Doug Kendall, maintenance engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Representative Verger gave a lot of my testimony, so I'll make this brief. The bill, as you know, requires ODOT, it's not permissive on the ODOT side, requires us at the request of a city or county to transfer jurisdiction. Transferring jurisdiction means the construction, improvement, maintenance, and repair, control, and operation of the highway would come under the local government, as Tom suggested. The bill also requires us to transfer money dependent on the number of lane miles, as it's written, and some other formula, which I'm not sure I clearly understand, in the Dash 1 amendments. Let me discuss the bill a little bit. ODOT, this may come as somewhat of a surprise, but ODOT actually believes that this is a good idea on what are referred to as district-level state highways. The question was asked, does this pertain to US 101? As the bill's written, yes, it would. Because US 101 is a state highway, and this is any state highway. This would also pertain to interstate highways, which were prohibited by federal rule from transferring jurisdictional control. We can't transfer a interstate highway. And we don't think it's a good idea to transfer a statewide route or a portion of a statewide route, because you end up with a patchwork type of system. However, on highways like 214's been discussed, there are a number of others, 82nd was raised. Those are district level highways and act more like a county road or a local road, and we don't have a problem transferring those. It does, again, as Representative Verger said, allow us to streamline the state system so that we're focused on those routes that are of statewide importance. So in light of that kind of direction that was laid out, in fact, by the commission, a couple things have happened. We have made a lot of hundreds of jurisdictional transfers. We do them all the time. With respect to Representative Krupp's question, the negotiation in a lot of cases is we'll do an improvement on the road if you'll take it over after we're done, I mean, it's all set up in front. They don't come after we've done the road. We do the negotiation up front. It's part of the negotiation. While I understand Representative Berger's favoring the formula option because it gives you a formula, it also takes away that flexibility to be able to say, I'll use that as an example. Commercial Street out south used to be a state highway, and we went in and did a it was cooperatively funded. I think there was some local money in it. I know there was federal money in it. An improvement with the agreement that the city would take over Commercial Street when we were done. Now, if you put a formula in, it takes away that flexibility to do that. So while the formula smooths things out on in one sense, it takes away some flexibility to do transfers in another. The other concern that I believe that we're going to have is around, with a formula, is around what the number that goes in the formula is. We have the numbers that you're talking about in the fiscal are our average per mile expenditures for maintenance and preservation, but those vary pretty radically depending on what highway you're on. So if you were to transfer a relatively low volume district level highway, our actual expenditures on that highway are probably lower than the average, where our expenditures on Interstate 5 or on US 101 are significantly higher. And so you're transferring potentially transferring a disproportionate amount of money to the local roadway and taking away from the other state highways. With that, I should have discussed a little bit possibly the four classifications of highways that are in the highway plan. Interstate highways, highways of statewide significance, highways of regional significance, and district level highways. And to be clear on where ODOT is in favor of, and in fact relatively routinely moves on transfers, tend to be on those district level highways that are not, so that we maintain the statewide system and we have a way for people to travel relatively easily and predictably across the entire state. Beyond that, our only other concern would be the formula, and I would be glad to answer any questions.
Doug, if you can step aside, I'll bring you back in a minute, but
sure.
I'm going to open a public hearing on another couple of bills that Representative Patrice is in the room for. So we'll temporarily recess the public hearing on House Bill 2870. We'll open a public hearing on House bills. We'll do it jointly on House Bill 3351 and 3355. Allow Representative Patrice to provide his testimony, and then he can get back to his committee work.
Thank you for indulging me, Mr. Chair. I certainly appreciate it. For the record, State Representative Rob Patridge, House District 50, City of Medford. I'm here today to introduce to the committee two bills. House Bill 3351 is a request at the request of Jackson County, in which the City of Medford resides, but I was also on the Medford City Council, so I understand some of the complications that House Bill 3351 deals with. It deals with the transferring of when you have an annexation and the transfer between city and county roads. There are some problems there. If you look at, I know that a lot of people have been involved on this committee, at least with cities across the state, and Mr. Chair, I know, has been on a city council, that if you look at city maps and then you look at some of the patchwork that's been done, kind of what you were just talking about on the previous bill today, there are county roads right in the middle of cities because they haven't been adopted in. And there's historical problems with those and engineering problems that those roads weren't necessarily up to the engineering standards. I am hopeful that some thoughtful discussion has been occurring between the cities, League of Counties, and particularly Jackson County and the City of Medford to help resolve some of these issues. So I introduced this at the request of Jackson County. But the bill that I'm predominantly here on is House Bill 3355. House Bill 3355 is a bill that I introduced during the last legislative session. For those of you who sat on the Transportation Committee before us or were involved in the Ways and Means process, there was a House bill that was introduced, and then it became a task force bill. And a task force was built to examine either the merger or partnering of a local jurisdiction, whether it be a city or county, and the Oregon Department of Transportation. We believe, and I think everyone across the board believes, that there are cost savings that could occur. For example, that we don't need multiple dump trucks and loaders and various pieces of equipment or other things to prevent some of that duplication, because those are not being utilized all the time, just as a kind of overall example. Also, as we drive past a pothole on the highway when we've got a load of materials in the back of the truck to fill potholes, we don't want to drive over the county potholes to get to fill the state potholes. Hopefully we can accomplish some of those projects as we move along. The task force met several times during the interim, and I believe the report was submitted to this committee either during the at the end of the interim or earlier on this session. If not, I'd be happy to get that to this the report that was done to this committee. Unfortunately for me, I felt that the task force, the recommendations for the task force, I guess, were less than satisfactory. There were my expectations, and I think other people's expectations, though they were different, I hoped would result in some continued debate at the legislative level to identify some of the barriers. I think that some of the unions that are here and will testify on behalf of this bill today are in favor of continuing the partnering. But they are also, by the same token, feel that partnering can result in some cost savings. The county, on the other half, feels that a merger would be in the best interest of and produce a larger cost savings. But so you have two opposing forces in terms of maybe the way to do this, but I think both are legitimately interested in cost savings. Unfortunately, the task force didn't come forward with any legislative recommendations, so consequently I introduced this particular piece of legislation to continue the debate. For the committee's edification, I have met with the unions that will be testifying today, as well as the county, and we invited ODOT to the meeting. Unfortunately, it couldn't attend, but to try and work through some of these things so we can get something together that is palatable to all parties concerned, that we believe will ultimately result in some cost savings. So I think that I have given both parties as well notes to mother to work on some amendments for this particular piece of legislation. I don't think either one is fully ready, but I intend to continue to meet with them. But I think it's important for this committee that something move out of this committee at some point in time that I think will result in better quality service and better savings to the taxpayers of Oregon. And I think ultimately what I'd like to see is, and I think that both the union and the county and everyone who's involved privately are interested in, is if by merging or partnering that we achieve some cost savings in Jackson County or other counties in the state, that savings then isn't sucked off into some other district in the state, but it can stay within the bounds of the district because of the innovation and cooperation and teamwork that has gone together either through a merger or through partnering. So I'd ask you to look at this bill. I don't think it's fully ready to go yet at this particular point in time, but I do think that this committee should have some thoughtful debate about it, because I think it is good for Oregonians and good for our taxpayers.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there questions for Tim Patrick?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will close the public hearing on House Bills 3351 and 3355. We'll reopen the public hearing in House Bill 2870. And if, Doug, could you come back, see if there's any questions for you. Any questions for Doug?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Doug, for being here.
Sure.
When we last talked, what was the price of per lane mile that you gave me?
33.
State Highway.
Chair Starr, Representative Nelson, I don't remember depends on what question you're asking. From a maintenance standpoint, our average cost per lane mile for maintenance only is $56.40. I think we sent in an amended fiscal. That fiscal was just slightly low. I think it's $56.40 times two, whatever that comes out to be. From a maintenance standpoint, then the other number that's in the fiscal is the average amount that we spend on preservation type projects, which is $15,200 a lane mile, or $15,200 a center line mile. The way those are calculated.
Excuse me.
Sure.
explain that to us, please.
Okay. Interlane mile. Okay. Yeah. There's two numbers that you'll hear. The number that the inside number that we usually use is, and Tom referred to it in his testimony, is a lane mile. That's because we try and equate highways with four lanes to highways with two lanes. So 1 mile of two-lane highway is two-lane miles. 1 mile of four-lane highway is four-lane miles. The way I calculated the numbers that I just gave you is to take our total expenditure in field maintenance and divide it by the number of lane miles on the state highway system, which is 19,202, I think. Similarly, the pavement preservation number is calculated in the same way. You take the total amount that we spend on pavement preservation projects every year and you divide it by the total number of lane miles. Now, the number that you referred to earlier, where you're talking hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars per mile, you get into that number when you start to build things, when you're doing actual modernization or reconstruction or construction projects. I'm trying to remember the cost per mile on the Crooked River Bridge worked out to be something like $36 million a mile. So when you do a bridge, your construction costs can be incredibly high. But what the bill 2870 refers to maintenance and preservation, and that's why we use cited the two numbers because we cited what we spend on maintenance and what we spend on preservation, not on any sort of improvement.
Follow up, please, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Doug. When we talked about filling in a byway for Dundee, which regardless of us being so very far up on the STIP, which Mr. Representative Zahner is so excited about. It's going to, we'll probably both be in old folks' home by then. But, by the time we get funding for it. But that's okay. We can still drive then. But I believe at that time, when we talked about filling in a county road to make it an ulterior byway to relieve this unbelievable congestion in my Yamhill County, which you love to hear about. Did you not talk about $215,000 per lane mile?
Chair Starr, Representative Nelson, I don't think I used that number. That sounds a little bit low, actually, I drove that road the other day, by the way.
Thank you. Good, keep driving it.
That sounds like it's a little bit low, actually, to go in there and do the kind of improvement that it would take to make that a through route.
And what would you think, follow up, please, Mr. Chair, and what would you think right now, just a gut feeling?
Well, Chair Starr,
I'm trying to get Representative Zahner's numbers correct.
Okay, Chair Starr, Representative Nelson, for the rest of the committee, what we're talking about here is a county road that runs north out of Lafayette and connects to Oregon 240, which goes back into Newburgh. It's a question that Representative Nelson's asking about and asking what it would take to improve that road to make it a viable road to handle more through traffic. The problem I have coming up with a number for you is when I drove that, it looks to me like we've got a very narrow right-of-way in there. And so I was just judging by where the fences were. So the issue that you're going to get into that makes it really difficult for me to give you an off-the-cuff number is that we're probably going to have to buy some right-of-way to go in there and fill in and smooth out some of those corners and widen some of the shoulders so people have a place to pull off when you're dealing with that heavy of traffic. So I have a tough time giving you a number knowing how close those fences were to the road.
Doug, this bill is about transfer of state roads to the county or city.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, follow up, please. That's very important, Mr. Chair, because it's exactly what we're talking about. We have a county road that ties to a state road, and if we could do exactly what Representative Zahner wants us to do and take over this segment while we're waiting for our position on our STIP to move up, the federal government to give us $200 or $300 million with which to do what we need to be done, this is a great option. Wouldn't you agree?
Chair Starr, Representative Nelson, I thought we were talking about a county. I thought you were talking about a county road.
It's a county road that ties up into your state highway 240.
Right, and so the county already has the county road this bill wouldn't impact that.
But if we took over the 240, the state highway as a portion of this byway, would we be entitled under this bill to those monies?
Representative Starr, Representative Nelson, yes, if I can't remember what 240 is, but it's probably a district-level highway. If you took that over, if the county were to ask to take that over, we would look at that as being something that we'd probably do, because assuming it is a district-level highway, and I'm sure it is.
Great. Go for it, Representative Zoner.
Representative Virgin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What would be the advantage to the department if a local jurisdiction takes it over and yet you still are paying for maintenance?
Chair Starr, Representative Verger, I don't read this bill that we would continue to do the maintenance. The way I read this bill is that a local jurisdiction would take over jurisdiction of the roadway, and that the department would then transfer them some sum of money on an annual basis for them to perform the maintenance. We wouldn't continue to do that. That's the way I read the bill.
And so, there would not be an exchange of money in the beginning?
Chair Starr, Representative Verger, you were out of the room when I talked about the... thank you for giving most of my testimony, by the way, earlier. my concern about having a formula, while I appreciate your interest in having one, so that's kind of out on the table so everybody understands going in, my concern about having a formula is it takes away some of that flexibility, where a number of the jurisdictional exchanges that we have done have been as a result of an agreement between ODOT and the local government to do a major improvement on the road, and then they subsequently take the road over. So there's no initial cash infusion, but the local government benefits from having the road improved, and then they agree that they'll maintain it from then on. And if you put the formula in, that would take away that kind of an option, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug, very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. I'd like to have Andrea Fogue and John O'Shell.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Andrew Fogue with the League of Oregon Cities.
John O'Shell with the Association of Oregon Counties.
I am not only representing the League, but unfortunately the City of Woodburn couldn't be with us this morning. And so I have a letter actually from the Mayor of Woodburn that I'd like to distribute to the committee. First of all, this on behalf of the City of Woodburn, they would very much like to express their appreciation for Representative Zoner's intent with this legislation, and also bringing it forward, because it is a very important issue, not only in the community of Woodburn, but also across the state. However, there are still some issues with this bill that are not resolved. So the City of Woodburn would also like to express its wish to look at these issues over the interim. And as you're going to hear a little bit later, the League has committed with the counties to look at jurisdictional transfer issues over the interim, not only with this bill, but also with a bill you're going to hear a little bit later. Just to highlight a couple of issues with House Bill 2870, although the formula in particular is good in concept, what you heard from ODOT is correct, is that our concern that it takes away some of the flexibility that exists today. Jurisdictional transfer issues are extremely complex. They vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. They are handled on a case-by-case basis. And right now, the local governments, along with ODOT, has that flexibility to address those situations on a case-by-case basis. This is very important because every solution really is different. So it's difficult to find a statewide solution or statewide formula, for instance, to address these jurisdictional transfer issues. We do need to work not only as local governments with each other, cities and counties, but with ODOT in particular. And one issue with House Bill 2870 is that it would be only the city or county expressing that they want to take it over. And we think that ODOT needs to, as a partner, be a part of that decision, as Representative Verger has expressed earlier. It's important in terms of maintaining the statewide system that we make those decisions together. And there are some issues when you're talking about state highways in particular being taken over by a local jurisdiction and the particular standards that they would be maintained to, etc., that could have some negative impact on the statewide system. District roads are a little bit of a different story, but still there are always issues of what condition is the road in when you take it over and the maintenance of that particular road. And we're not even talking about bridges at this point, which I know have been touched on a little bit, but that. They vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. They are handled on a case-by-case basis. And right now, the local governments, along with ODOT, has that flexibility to address those situations on a case-by-case basis. This is very important because every solution really is different. So it's difficult to find a statewide solution or statewide formula, for instance, to address these jurisdictional transfer issues. We do need to work not only as local governments with each other, cities and counties, but with ODOT in particular. And one issue with House Bill 2870 is that it would be only the city or county expressing that they want to take it over. And we think that ODOT needs to, as a partner, be a part of that decision, as Representative Verger has expressed earlier. It's important in terms of maintaining the statewide system that we make those decisions together. And there are some issues when you're talking about state highways in particular being taken over by a local jurisdiction and the particular standards that they would be maintained to, etc., that could have some negative impact on the statewide system. District roads are a little bit of a different story, but still there are always issues of what condition is the road in when you take it over and the maintenance of that particular road. And we're not even talking about bridges at this point, which I know have been touched on a little bit, but that takes on a life of its own. So just briefly, we would like to work with these issues over the interim. We think that it's important that this piece of legislation has been brought forward, shed some light on these issues, because it is time that we sit down and try to address them. Again, we appreciate Representative Zahner's work on this, and I'll turn it over to John.
Chair Starr, members of the committee, once again, John Osher with the Association of Oregon Counties. My comments are sort of for this bill and the following HB 3351 having to do with jurisdiction transfers between cities and counties. My comments in many ways float on both topics, so I'll try and say them both once here and save you having to listen to me twice. I think one overriding thing needs to be recognized, and I think you probably recognize it, a lot of what is going on here that makes it very difficult is simply related to inadequate funding. You know that, we know that. There's other issues out there, but a lot of the issues that are causing the real tough problems are simply related. Everyone knows what the right thing is to do, but they don't have the money to do it. Jurisdiction transfers are extremely complex. I guess maybe another follow-on, the funding that's associated with this. When funding is tight, things get really creative out there. Now, this is good. There's some really good stuff going on out there on jurisdiction transfers, both between the ODOT and local agencies and between the cities and counties. I mean, I've seen land trades go along with jurisdiction transfers. I've seen match monies where one agency gave up their funding that was eligible for their jurisdiction to another jurisdiction to get transfers to happen. A lot of good stuff going out there. My concern on both these bills is simply we need to be very careful when we walk into a very complex system that we don't set something up that limits us when we need to have the flexibility. I think it's critical that whatever system we have, we do keep focused on which agency is the appropriate agency or jurisdiction. In the case of this bill, we do need to remember that there are certain highways that really do need to be state highways. When we get to the city-county issue, I think we'll find that there's certain roads within the cities that everyone pretty well agrees really ought to be city jurisdiction. Once again, then you get the funding issue as to how to get the funding to go to the right agency to maintain them. That's where it gets complex. Some other concepts we need to deal with. We need to, I think, fairly strongly stick with that transfers really ought to be mutually agreeable to both parties. I think if we set up any system that one can absolutely mandate on the other, we're into potential problems. Now, we might set up some systems that go a lot more streamlined than the existing systems, because there are some real difficulties in getting through some of the systems. But we need to make sure that at least on a program level, there's some concurrence of all parties. And I guess the final one would comment, once again, I think the association is very supportive of getting some stuff going in the interim. Now, on the issue of the ODOT local transfers, ODOT already has a working committee on jurisdiction transfers that is actually looking at the issue of both transfer from ODOT to the local agencies and, in some cases, transfer from the local agencies back to ODOT. Right now, that's a working group staffed by ODOT, run by ODOT, although the cities and counties do have representatives at the table. You may or may not want to consider formalizing that at a higher level than just an ODOT committee, but that group is already going, has a lot of work done. Yesterday I received an email of a draft report of about 15 pages that's work already in progress, and, you know, yes, there's a bunch of problems to solve yet, but they've gone a long ways, and I think we need to build on that. The issue between the cities and counties, I haven't even begun to go into all the complications. I know we have some other people with the testimony on the issues there. Extremely complex issues having to do with what is maintenance and who has jurisdictional responsibility. Currently, the laws do not match maintenance responsibilities and jurisdictional responsibilities. So at that, I will close. Open any questions, of course.
I've got a question probably for Andrea. I'm disappointed that the Mayor of Woodburn is unable to be here. He may be where this question ultimately should go. But I guess it's two questions. One, do you have any idea what kind of money the city has put up to do work in cooperation with the department?
Chairman Starr, in regards to a particular project or just in general, are we talking about something specific?
For improvements on 214.
No, I don't, but I'd be happy to get that information for you. 214.
Is this a change in position for the city of Woodburn?
Mr. Chair, my understanding that it is not a change in position, that they have been working with Representative Zahner to try to get the bill into shape that would be a solution, but it's not there yet. And one reason being, again, we're real concerned that at this point we're asking you to put something into state law that's not going to be a solution that works beyond the community of Woodburn. And this solution in particular doesn't work for that community yet, let alone in the shape to be a statewide solution.
The letter from the mayor, was that
yes.
Based on the bill as written and the amendments or without the amendments?
Mr. Chair, the bill and the amendments.
Thank you. Any other questions, Representative Zahner?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. If you look on the first page on the bottom line down there, where he says that the state and the legislature should force ODOT to fix the highways, Jennings really believes that they should kind of handle the whole process, and that's kind of been some of our problem, trying to get the small things done. He's looking at the big picture, trying to get five lanes all the way from the freeway to 99, and we need some more stoplights. We got little ladies going to Salud with kids in their buggies and going across that road.
It's another death just waiting to happen. We need a stoplight there. I need a stoplight in Dundee. The mayor of Sheridan needs two stoplights and a couple signs changed. These are small projects, but and we sit and talk about all these things. I don't know how to solve that. He kind of, when he says that the legislature and the governor need to provide the funding to do it, he's putting the onus on us, and the citizens asked me for help, and so that's where I'm at.
Thank you, Representative Zahner.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I'll remind Representative Zahner that we likewise have a Highway 18 intersection. As I mentioned last time when you were here, just suffered a fatality that should never have occurred, and this has been very high on ODOT's list of to-dos. Not quite in the STIP, but my concern is the funding to match a lot of these programs, and, you know, thank you very much, Andrea, for giving me the information of your entire Transportation Committee, and this week we plan to contact each one of them, and also
you will be receiving that list.
Thank you, Mr. Shell, because I think the time is now, and I see, you know, the faces and the responses of the individuals from ODOT, and, you know, I think we have a vast resource of expertise, and you look upon it like maybe a parental group that cities and counties can call on and access their services, whether it be for engineering or Doug's for maintenance or Troy's for safety. You know, you have this resource group, but yet you put the work with the kids, you know, not the grandparents. I mean, who truly are action-oriented and let's make something happen and do it now to prevent what just happened in my community. I noticed Representative Starr scheduled, was it last night, meeting in my district, and it is so critical. My concern is that this bill does not specifically address matching funds, nor does it specifically address gas tax dollars, and do they stay at home? I mean, do my city dollars now stay at home? And I hope Representative Zahner wasn't too. Because the same ones went to build that, what was it, $38 million line mile bridge that Doug just talked about. So we really do need, I think, to get the new parents at home concerned about the future, you know, of their kids and the generation to come. Because if we don't do something now, we're in trouble, and not that ODOT doesn't want to do it. And I'm concerned that we spend our efforts with our federal, you know, friends and work with ODOT and get some dollars back in here that belong. And, you know, I suggest that we put together our, one more time, our bill for the federal government, and ask for our transportation dollars to be returned so that they may be used the way they were intended when everybody began paying gas tax to begin with. I hope I can count on the cities and counties to help us along with ODOT. We really want to make that happen. I think until the federal government really realizes, you know, how little of the money, I mean, we really get for our needs, without some pressure and some publicity, it's not going to happen.
Representative Nelson, Chair Starr, Representative Nelson, the funding, as John said, really a lot of the times these jurisdictional transfer issues come down to that. It's not necessarily wanting to take over a road or not wanting to take over a road. And again, that's why we need the flexibility to address these situations on a case-by-case basis and come up with, as John said, some of these creative solutions because funding really is at the core of these issues.
Thank you very much. Representative Berger has a question.
Mr. Chairman, I just can't miss this opportunity. Red lights are safety issues, and if we went around the state, we'd find places that are just desperate for lights. But they are very expensive, and local governments have an opportunity either to partner or do without the light, which isn't always. So I think my same song, 10th verse here, is that we as a committee need to address the funding for the department so they're able to do the job that we want them to do.
I agree. Thank you very much for your comments.
And Mr. Chair, can I address Representative Warner's remark, or Brenner's remark? Likewise, we need to remove these administrative rules that prevent us from doing so. In our very own city of Yamhill, we even offered to buy the light, but because of our region, the two stoplights that met the criteria went to Salem. And the $250,000 and $1,000 a month was not even in the opportunity. I mean, wasn't anywhere to be considered because it's restricted. So we need to look at those rules that prevent us from, as citizens, from doing what's right.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
We're going to go to House Bill 3351. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3351. Let John talk about the bill. It's another jurisdictional transfer bill.
Thank you, Chair Starr, members of the committee. House Bill 3351 authorizes the county to adopt an ordinance to transfer jurisdiction of county road automatically to city that annexes territory that includes road. And as you see on your summary, members, you can see currently Oregon law, just a generalized summary of current law, allows transfers of road jurisdictions between local governments, providing the transfer jurisdictions are mutually expedient and are independent of each governing entity. Also, for your information, we've included statutory background currently on the law that's attached to this summary, as well as you should have a copy of the most recent fiscal statement on this bill, which has been issued, and fiscal office has said that the fiscal impact on this bill is indeterminate, and there is no revenue impact on this bill.
Thank you very much. On what?
Mr. Chair, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before your committee. Members of the committee, I'm here today to act as a right-hand man to Joe Strahl, who's come up from Jackson County, and he's our Director of Roads, Parks, and Planning. So I will, without other comment, turn over to Mr. Strahl.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Starr, members of the committee. My name is Joe Strahl. I'm Director of Roads, Parks, and Planning for Jackson County. And I have prepared a copy of written testimony for the committee. Basically, we're here today because the current statutes result in an inequitable and inefficient system for management of some of our road system. And the specific road system has to do with county roads, which are located inside of city limits. And current statutes say that those roads remain the jurisdiction of the counties, and basically until the cities agree to accept jurisdiction. I brought with me some maps, and John can uncover those. This is a map here of the city of Central Point. I've also got one of Medford. I'll demonstrate here in a minute, but just so you can look at the situation while I'm talking. We have the city limits of Central Point shown in light green, and the county roads inside of those city limits, sections of road, which are shown in red. Basically, county roads are usually the things that you consider county roads. They're usually chip-sealed surfaces, ditched highways, two-lane situations. They don't have curbs, gutters, storm drains, sidewalks. They don't have an awful lot of use of utilities inside the road right-of-way like city streets do or supposed to. City streets, on the other hand, do have those things. They have curbs, gutters, sidewalks, storm drains, catch basins, real intensively used for utility lines, telephone, cable, all sorts of utilities. What we have when we have very small sections of county roads down inside of city limits is that there's a travel distance for county road crews to go down and maintain those, and they have to set up traffic control in an urban environment for a very short section of roadway that could just as easily essentially be maintained by a city at the same time that the city's going through maintaining those roads. I guess, John, now that everybody's seen what Central Point looks like, go to the city of Hartford. And I won't. I think that the maps pretty much speak for themselves. I think that the situation right now that we have is somewhat confusing for citizens. We receive calls all the time about why our county road crews down here inside the city limits working on my road, and a lot of these situations result in not only in inefficiencies but inequities for the citizens. Citizens who live inside city limits really expect a higher level of maintenance. That's the reason for creating a city and having city streets. In addition to that, there are some inequities, such as city residents often have to pay city street taxes, transportation system development charges, street user fees, and so forth to the cities. The residents of the cities who live on county roads do not receive a benefit on their roads for these taxes, charges, and fees. Cities also are permitted to assess franchise fees to utility companies for the use of city streets and other city-owned property. As you know, counties are not permitted to collect utility franchise fees. However, cities do charge franchise fees for the utility customers who live on county roads inside the cities. By statute, ORS 273-320, the city of Salem has jurisdiction and control over all county roads inside the city limits. Other parts of the state, such as Amity, Monmouth, and Myrtle Point, have similar statutes for certain roads inside of their cities. It's not a uniform practice statewide, and the statutes recognize that. Another statute, ORS 810-010, actually gives cities the authority for county roads inside of city limits. So cities have all the power to regulate access, to control the traffic, enforce the laws on these roads. However, the cities have no responsibility for maintaining or operating the county roads. The recommendations of the county engineer regarding traffic signals, traffic lanes, turning movements, and so forth, which are requirements often of development, along those county roads inside of city limits are often ignored, or sometimes ignored, I should say, by the cities. Not frequently, but sometimes. When these recommendations are ignored, there is really no negative consequence for the city. The long-term maintenance and safety problems which result from the city's failure to properly administer the roadways remain the county responsibility, and that's just not a good situation overall. I think that Oregon law may actually be unique in this regard. I think most states require that cities receive jurisdiction of roads as new areas are annexed into the city. Jackson County would like to work toward that because we feel it's a more efficient and equitable system. We don't want to continue to perpetuate the status quo. We've got a situation here with roads that are inside the city limits, and there's going to be problems associated with those roads as long as they remain county roads. And this bill doesn't propose doing anything about this situation, but we just don't want to perpetuate the situation any longer. So any new roads, what we're proposing happen is that we be allowed to transfer those over at the time of annexation. As Andrea Fogue pointed out earlier, the cities and the counties, it's my understanding anyway, have basically agreed to sit down and work together during the interim on issues associated with this bill that the cities may feel are inequitable. I'm certainly only presenting one side of the story. There are definitely two sides or maybe more. But I think that discussion does need to occur, and we would certainly be in favor of being at the table for that discussion. Thank you. That concludes my testimony, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony, and thank you for coming up today.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much. Questions? Representative Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm all for it. I mean, I see your problem is kind of a lot like our problem in trying to get something done, so I'll support this effort.
Sure.
Representative Krupnik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, the current law allows for this type of thing. How come it's not happening?
The current law, I never get these procedures down proper.
I'll take your time. It takes a while for all of us to figure it out.
Don't worry.
Representative Krupp, current law only allows for the transfer to take place. Basically, we've always done it at the city's request, and we have been successful in transferring over a large number of county roads to the city. But there are many more, as you can see on the map, which have not been transferred, and many more that are being created virtually every year, that unless the city takes steps to make that happen, just don't happen. And we agree, too, that we have done some fairly innovative things in terms of transferring. John O'Shell pointed out that sometimes property is transferred as a result of jurisdictional exchange. We did that with the city of Ashland a number of years ago. They wanted to acquire some county shops, and we transferred those county shops to them, and they assumed jurisdiction of roads. However, all those problems that I pointed out earlier with the existing system do exist, and we're not in favor of perpetuating that system.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is actually just in jest. How would you react as a county if, when you transferred a road to a city, and if it was mandated, if you transferred, had to transfer funds with it, a proportionate share of your funds?
Representative Devlin, the question may be in jest, but actually we do transfer funds when we transfer roads.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
That's the American way.
Know the answer before you ask the question.
Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Is Jackson County unique in that regard? Or?
Representative Devlin, we're not particularly unique, but I don't believe that everyone follows that example. I know that some counties are just too strapped for cash. We have a policy which perhaps a few other counties follow, and that is essentially that we believe that we have a responsibility to the road surface as a county road. We will pay the city basically the equivalent of paving that road surface again to whatever depth and width that they require, and that is what our contribution is. And basically we have cataloged all of the cities, which we have 11 in Jackson County, and we have all the county roads in those cities identified on a spreadsheet, and the cost of transferring the existing ones under that current policy, the existing problems like are shown on this map, would amount to about $10 million. And that's roughly the equivalent of a yearly Jackson County road budget. So it's absolutely more than we could afford. And based on what we could afford, it would take at least 20 years to solve the existing problems that we have. So thank you for asking that question, because it gave me an opportunity to point that out. Okay.
Mr. Chair, President Markey.
Just make sure I understand why we end up in this situation. Does the city, when it annexes the area, not want to take over? Since you're providing some funding for the roads to take over, why are these few streets, because it looks like the vast bulk of them are transferred to the city's jurisdiction, why are these few streets left over, and what is the motivation for not resolving them the same way that the bulk of the streets have been resolved?
Representative Berkeley, that seems to vary with
that incentive is already there. But I would also note that Joe is right. I think Joe's feeling is right that to move forward into a new entity, certainly you're creating a new entity of government, and that can't happen without legislative direction. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I might disagree with your last statement. In fact, I don't really believe you can legislate cooperation. I'd like you to comment on that.
Chair Starr, Representative Verger, my last statement pertained to the creation of a new governmental entity. I agree with you. Legislating cooperation is kind of like legislating courtesy. But as we move forward to the point that we've pushed the boundaries of the envelope in Jackson County, we have found in what was contained in the interim report, we have found some barriers that make it difficult. Because of existing law, make it difficult to take the next step. The one about that I was talking about with the, I put this in a category of the two biggest problems that I've had in working with intergovernmental agreements, not only in Jackson County but all over the state, are getting them through our accounting section and getting them through Department of Justice. And the I'm not knocking the our accounting section or the Department of Justice. They're doing exactly what they're currently charged by law to do, and that is they are doing everything they can to protect the state's interest. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're protecting the public's interest. So in the desire to protect the state interest, sometimes they come up with something that the county is really uncomfortable with. In fact, if you looked at it broadly for the whole public benefit, it would be unnecessary. So the sense that I'm trying to convey is I agree with you, you can't legislate cooperation, but you can remove some of the barriers to allow people to do it.
Doug, thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. Rich Peppers, Russ Peterson, and Chuck Logan. We're running up against the clock, so you can abbreviate your testimony. I think you can recognize that the fact that this bill is not going to move today and that there will be continued work and discussion concerning the bill, and I would hope that you and your interests would be included in those discussions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I will abbreviate my testimony because the two other people up here did come from a long way, and I'd rather have them speak than me. So I just refer you to my written testimony initially. There are two quotes on the second page that come from testimony before this committee earlier this year, in fact about a month ago, that I'd like to especially point you to, that simply raise the flag of caution about organizational change. And one of them is from Mr. Nomis. I don't know if I got the spelling correctly, and of the ODOT Efficiency Committee. And the other is from former Director Grace Krennican, and her words of caution about organizational change and being very certain that you're going to make the change appropriately and for all the right reasons, because there is a cost to those. And realizing I may not have introduced myself, Rich Peppers, I'm here for the Oregon Public Employees Union, SEIU Local 503. And with me are Russ Peterson and Chuck Logan. I have some bullets at the end of my testimony that identify some of the specific concerns we have about this bill. But let me say that while we oppose the bill as it's currently written, we have met, as Representative Patridge said, with Representative Patridge and gone over some of our concerns. He has given us a mother's note to go see LC. Our inclination is to urge the committee to look at ways of exploring partnering much more deeply, because there were during the interim areas identified that are barriers to partnering that could be removed, and we think this bill could do that, and would like to work with this committee and with the other people in the room on this bill to bring you back something that emphasizes getting rid of the barriers to partnering to allow that to go further. And with that, I'll let you read my written testimony and turn it over to the folks from Jackson County.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Chuck Logan, employee of Jackson County Roads and Parks. When the employees of Jackson County Roads and Parks hear about new legislation being proposed for a merger, their morale kind of drops. they're worried about the future with the department, their seniority, and staying employed with Jackson County. When the idea of a merger is brought up, the crew I work with worries about the future of what becomes of them on the job and as the county as a whole. We need to continue to improve on the opportunities and further partnering with ODOT and Jackson County. And I'd like to refer you to the statement that Rich read, that Grace Krunigan read, that it hits the nail on the head of what our concerns are, mainly as employees.
Thank you very much.
Representative Starr, thank you for having us here today. I'm Russ Peterson. I work for ODOT, been with ODOT Highway Maintenance for about 15 years now. Although House Bill 3355 is a permissible bill, as I understand it, if it's enacted by ODOT upper management and implemented, many of the factors would have to be taken into consideration that's involved with this. Some of these would be clear and reasonable expectations of frontline managers who are basically taxed individuals right now with everything that they have to do. Liabilities involving the new identity, ownership of the assets, accounting and budgeting systems, procurement of equipment supplies, operational emergency responses, and there needs to be some type of an evaluation and safety net procedure to protect the employee, the individual organizations that are involved with the merging process, and the assets that the public taxpayers provided all of us that's involved with the previous mention. The bill, if enacted or implemented, would create a new layer of local governments and would potentially mandate frontline supervisors and employees to deal with a forced merge situation. Partnering needs to be expanded. ODOT and Southern Oregon and Jackson County has done a lot of partnering, and there's a lot more potential there to partner. Multiple partnering offers the flexibility that is necessary for effective use of taxpayers' funds. ODOT is, at least in our sections, is actively involved with multiple partnering, not only with counties, but cities, other state agencies, and some private entities. It gives ODOT that flexibility that we need to do the job at a more economical cost, at a reduced cost to the taxpayer. From the frontline employees, ODOT's point of view, being involved with the process secures From a frontline employee of ODOT's point of view, being involved with the process since its inception in Southern Oregon, it would make economic and political sense to address various ways to remove some of the barriers that partnering forces. Some of these issues are, which I have five of them here, hand out. ODOT's accounting and billing practices, designated budget reimbursements into ODOT crews involving purchases going back to general funds, and designated funds and incentives to continue partnering relationships. There's also several laws on the books that could be improved or modified. One of the big barriers there is modification of public improvement laws, which has a $125,000 cap. In the handout there, there's concepts for removing barriers to partnering. There's five issues that involves with retaining savings in the districts, billing flexibility, procurement flexibility, and building a boilerplate partnership agreement and contract approval.
Mr. Chair, if I could just say that our focus in trying to develop amendments to this bill would focus on this list you have in front of you now and trying to work with the parties to see what which best accomplishes the goals outlined on that page.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, are you from Southern Oregon as well?
Yes, Grants Pass.
I want to thank both of you for taking time to come to Salem. That's a trip up, and
Mr. Chair,
perhaps you'd rather be doing something else. I appreciate you waiting, and I apologize for taking so long to get to this. And I don't want to limit the ability to ask questions, and so we're gonna plow through. If there's any questions from committee members, Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do any of you anticipate that if there was this merger, that there would be an overall loss in jobs, or would you stay about the same?
to be very truthful with you, I can't see a loss of jobs in either situation because we're understaffed for the amount of workload that we have to do now. And rightfully, in my mind, it doesn't work to merge two suffering organizations and you end up with one massive conglomerated organization really suffering.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, that we think that in some of the studies of this, the focus of savings has come from the possibility of selling off equipment or land or buildings, and that, I think, is something that could possibly be accomplished even through partnership agreements in cooperative sharing of any of the equipment, and some of that is already being done.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you both very much. Thanks for coming. That will close the public hearing on 3355. We'll open a work session on House Bill 3075. This is a bill that we discussed last week. Representative Ringo is the primary sponsor of the bill. Representative Ringo and I have had numerous discussions about this bill. Representative Ringo serves on the Ways and Means Subcommittee that would deals with transportation. He requested that he have the opportunity to work this bill in the Ways and Means Committee. The bill had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means anyway. We've talked about, I know we had a lengthy discussion about this bill in this committee, and Representative Ringo and I have talked about capping the amount of money that could go to one project or to one jurisdiction under this bill, under the $25 million. It's my understanding he's going to pursue that idea of promoting the cap on so that all the money wouldn't go to one jurisdiction. It'd be the availability of the money to more jurisdictions. My desire to send it down with a due pass recommendation, and if I can't get 5 votes for that, though, I'll send it down without recommendation. So I move that we send House Bill 3075 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I support sending this down to Ways and Means, but I won't be able to support sending it with a due pass recommendation. There were several things that I talked with Representative Ringo about that would make me feel a lot more comfortable with this bill. One would be to have a clear deadline by which applications are made so that everyone who wants to get an application can do so. And you don't have the situation simply of an open agenda and whoever gets their application in first gets the money. The second was to cap the amount, as you have mentioned, that would, and I suggested to him perhaps a cap of $5 million or one-fifth of the amount appropriated so that it wasn't a situation where just one jurisdiction, the state, grabbed it and everyone else who had a project was very upset. A third was a process for comparing the projects if they were oversubscribed. Otherwise, it still is a first in the door, and then you have the problem of, okay, so everyone got their applications in, and there's groups wanting $50 million, but there's only $25 million. How do we decide how to allocate it? And it would just become a political struggle. I also expressed the desire to understand better how $25 million works as a percent of the budget. I believe as a total percent of the total highway budget, it's approximately 2%, which doesn't sound like very much and makes me relatively comfortable with $25 million being experimented with in this fashion. However, I wanted to understand what it represented as a percent of the development budget, which is more relevant. If, for example, the state is only going to have $75 million for new projects, then this would represent a one-third reduction in the money available for the STIP. And that would concern me considerably. So since all those things haven't been ironed out, I can't support approving it, but I can certainly support sending it to Ways and Means to work on those issues.
Thank you very much for your comments. Other discussion? Kate, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Devlin?
No.
Krupp?
Aye.
Merkley?
No.
Nelson?
Absent.
Rosenbaum?
Excuse.
Berger?
Aye.
Donner?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye. Motion passed. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devin.
For your sake, if you'll allow me to, I'll change my vote to aye.
Representative Devlin changes his vote to aye. Thank you. We will close the work session on House Bill 3075. We're adjourned.